This weekend, we celebrate our first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of the new liturgical year. And so as we enter into the Advent season, we're looking towards Christmas. That's the goal of the kind of the destination of Advent is ultimately Christmas. But you would expect then, if you're preparing for Christmas when you come to the readings, you would expect to find the readings this weekend to be about shepherds and angels and Bethlehem and all that kind of, like, none of that. The readings don't say anything about that. Instead, what do we get? There will be signs of the sun and the moon and the stars, and nations will be in dismay. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming, and they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and glory. It's the end of times. It's the last coming of Jesus. In the first 2 weeks of Advent, and I've mentioned this before, and, you know, the last couple of weeks of Ordinary Time and the first couple of weeks of Advent, we're not singing about mangers and angels. We're singing, or we're inviting the Lord, O come Emmanuel, ransom captive Israel. We're talking about coming back. Jesus, come back again. Hasten the day. Lord, hurry up. We need you to come back anytime. Would be great. That's the idea of the first couple of weeks of Advent, is we're asking for the return of Jesus. So we don't necessarily look backwards to the scene of the Nativity. We're looking forwards to his coming again as the King and the Judge of the world. And so that's kind of the idea of what the church is asking us to meditate on. Are we prepared for that second coming of Jesus or not? There's a warning that Jesus offers in the gospel today that I think is applicable both to us in our season of Advent, but also just in terms of long-term looking at the end of times. So, you know, in the hustle and bustle of the way we spend Advent in the United States of America, I mean, people don't, they don't talk about Advent. We're talking about Christmas already since, you know, the end of as soon as Halloween was over, the next day you go to any grocery store or whatever and it's Christmas decorations everywhere. Christmas, 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 Christmas. And then December 25th, that's it. That's it. They're, everything else is on clearance and we're done with Christmas. But that is not at all the way that we as Catholics prepare for this season. Christmas does not start until December 25th. And we don't even start talking about mangers until December 17th. That's when there's a definitive shift. But in the meantime, it's this preparation. And so with this preparation, Jesus is what he's offering us today. He says this line. This is after he's talking about the end of times. He says, "Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy." And then he lists three things that cause a drowsy heart, that your heart falls asleep and almost becomes deadened inside of you. Three things that will cause a drowsy heart that he warns specifically against: carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of daily life. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read those things, it seems like one of those things is not like the others. You know what I'm saying? Like, would you put carousing and drunkenness in the same category as the anxieties of daily life? I probably wouldn't. You know, carousing and, you know, partying, sleeping around, messing around, all those kind of things. Drunkenness, like, you could see how those two things could lead to a drowsy heart, how it numbs us, how it puts us to sleep spiritually, so to speak. How it really does kind of lull us to sleep. But then, to put the anxieties of daily life in the same category as that, what Jesus is warning us about is that the anxieties of daily life can be just as deadly to our spiritual life as the debauchery of whatever else. I think for most of us, especially if we've been practicing our faith and trying to move forward, I think most of us have moved past the carousing and drunkenness phase of our lives. Hopefully, most of us have kind of moved past that. But the anxieties of daily life, that affects all of us. And maybe even particularly in the Advent season. I mean, think about how many Christmas songs sing about the hustle and bustle of the season. And like from the time of Thanksgiving or leading up to Thanksgiving all the way until Christmas, it's just go, 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 busyness and decorations and preparations and buying gifts and buy, 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 and all the stuff that's in our face. It seems to me like we as Americans, as Christian and specifically Catholic Americans, we're not doing our Advent right. We're not doing it properly, and we are allowing the anxieties of daily life to drown out and put us to sleep in terms of where our attention is supposed to be focused. So I would like to offer you a very practical, very concrete solution, or at least maybe a piece of a solution. Advent is a penitential season. There are two penitential seasons in the church. Lent, and you know, we all get that. We all eat our fish on Fridays, and we all know to fast and all that kind of stuff in Lent. We're good about that. But Advent is also a penitential season. That's why we wear violet. Violet is a penitential color. And we are supposed to kind of take a step back. The Advent season is supposed to be a little bit slower pace, a little bit more focused on being simplistic. And then once we hit Christmas, and then it's the celebrations, and then it's, you know, all of that. So I guess one very practical challenge to you of how to combat the anxieties of daily life is this. And you've heard me preach about it before, is leisure. Leisure. The way we intentionally spend our time. And according to Joseph Pieper, the highest form of leisure is worship. And the highest form of worship is liturgy. And that is why Sundays are, it's the Lord's Day. It's the Sabbath. It's why it's a commandment from God. Before it ranks ahead of thou shalt not kill, before we get to that commandment, keep holy the Sabbath day. Why? Because God knows we need that time to rest, to recuperate, and to be able to, like, function. And when we don't have that, what's the result? Anxiety. It's like a slide puzzle. If you imagine your life like a slide puzzle, but there's no empty slot. And you're trying to move things around and shift things around, but if there's no empty slot, if we don't have time or space to simply be, how can the Lord work in our hearts? He can't. And so my challenge, my invitation to you, is to use the next four Sundays as we make our way through Advent. Focus specifically, very, very carefully, how you spend your Sundays. How you spend the Sundays of Advent. That you are observing a Sabbath rest. That it's a day that is dedicated to the Lord. It's spent in your family in a way that you don't allow the other things to kind of creep in and claim that territory, that real estate. But it's the parameters are set. When we do that, it's like creating the open space in that slide puzzle, and all of a sudden, we have room interiorly for things to slide around. And all of a sudden, those other worries and anxieties, even though we might think about them on Sunday, they don't have the same power over us anymore. And I would give you one further practical thing that I would recommend and suggest. Now, this is something Bishop Kimmy had recommended a few years ago. And he was saying it kind of as a blanket thing, but I would say just focus on Advent. To try your very best to not spend a dime on Sunday. To keep that time without commerce, so to speak. And that means you'll have to prepare ahead of time. Friday and Saturday, you'll have to do your shopping and fill up your tank if you're going to be driving and all that kind of stuff. But that's just one very practical thing to say, you know what, I'm just going to not give into the hustle and bustle the busyness, the spending, and I would even include online spending in that. But to restrict and to put a firm parameter and boundary around how you spend your Sundays, even just for the next 4 weeks. I say if you do that one practice, I would be willing to bet, I'd be willing to wager that you will end up with the best Christmas that you have had spiritually, interiorly. I think it's logical. It makes sense why the church and why Jesus himself, God himself, has asked us to order our life in this way. And the fruit, the dividends that it pays, is peace and joy. May we not give in to those anxieties of daily life.